Carrie and Tommy about to go off.
The Carrie and Tommy podcast begins in just seconds. Powered by Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how we get to net zero. Find out at alintaenergy.com.au. True power.
Thank you for being a friend.
Yeah.
And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me. And the card attached would say,
thank you for being a friend.
It's the one and only
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yeah. Now, welcome to it for your Monday afternoon. How are we, guys?
Good. Ooh. A big, beautiful happy birthday to my beautiful daughter, Evie.
Yeah.
9 today.
9 going on 19.
If you're listening now, cutie, I love you so much. Best thing ever.
Yeah.
As long along with your sister and brother.
Are we allowed to talk about, because you have a famous history of giving, let's say, not the best gifts.
No, I nailed the gifts.
You re-gripped Ollie's tennis racket 1 year. Gave him a new one, just re-gripped it. Have you given the gift yet?
I've held off for a year, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, and there's going to be people that are angry at me. I've held out for a year giving my daughter a Frank Green drink bottle because I refused to become part of the mafia. I will not do it. And I did it, and she finally said, oh, I can finally fit in. And every part of me died because I said, no, honey, it's not about that. And then I gave her a lecture about how it shouldn't be about your drink bottle.
I thought you were going to say you took it off her.
No, I gave her to. And then we opened it to use it, and the straw was broken. So I was like, but you can't use it. But no, she was very, very, very happy. I'll show you tomorrow the cake I made too.
Happy birthday, Evie.
What's coming up today?
We got a big show today because we are going to speak to a friend of ours who has embarked on, I think, and I don't know if it's just for content, but one of the more controversial trips that is happening in the world at the moment. He has put himself on that. There's no escape, and we are going to chat to him.
And I didn't realize how many thousands of people are listening to the podcast he's doing from this place that we're going to tell you about, because people are that interested in what he is doing.
It sounds like hell to me. Does it sound like hell to you?
Nah, I quite like the idea.
Actually, you do. Yeah, I do.
But up next, it's the death of radio, really.
It's the death of radio.
Can't believe we're starting with the one thing you said we'd never do on air. Should we do it next?
There's two things that I said, if we ever talk about them, let's quit radio. One is, how often do you wash your towels? And the other, we're going to talk about next.
Carrie and Tommy.
For your Monday arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, we are roasting Tommy Little. We're going to meet another one of our roasters very soon.
Very exciting. If you want tickets to that, money is not the thing that does it. Just go to carrieandtommy.com.au to get your grubby mitts on some Bickers. I had a gig in Warrnambool.
In the Bull.
Yes, in regional Victoria on the weekend. And it was absolutely wonderful. For a couple of reasons.
I saw on your Insta you were at a car rally. Yeah, I didn't know you were a car rally kind of guy.
No, well, there was. It's a car meet.
Yes. Sorry. They don't move. They just stay still.
You just all walk around and you go like this. You look at each one, you go, that's sick. And then you look over and you go, oh, yeah, that's sick too. And their owners are standing there and they go, isn't it sick? And you go, yeah, it's sick.
Was it sick though? Was it awesome? Like, as somebody that loves cars, do you love cars? Were you like a little fanboy?
It was awesome. It was awesome. The only thing that made me giggle was because a lot of them are old cars that have been done up, and there was a sign I saw on one saying, you know, this is, you can look and stuff, but this is so rare. Please don't touch. But then I saw that first sign and I was like, oh, yeah, that's fair enough. But then I looked over and there were three other Taranas in line with it that all had the same sign. And I'm like, it is rare, but it's not that rare. Look, I can see three in a row here. But the gig was wonderful, and thank you to the people who came along. But then afterwards, we went to as is often the case in a regional place, the only restaurant that was open. Turns out it was wonderful.
Oh.
It was a pizza place called Bojangles. And we went in. Yeah. And do you know why I loved it so much? Because I had a pizza that I haven't seen since I was a kid. I remember when I was a kid, I went to some beachside town and they had a pizza there where they had spaghetti on the pizza. And it, as a kid.
Like pasta or bolognese?
Yes. Sorry, both. That's confusing.
Sorry, just spaghetti is in the spaghetti without the sauce on it or spaghetti bolognese.
Yes, spaghetti bolognese. Yes.
Bolog. Not bolog.
I say bog though. I say spag bog.
Spaghetti bolognese. I think the G's silent.
Is spag bog wrong?
No. Spag
you say
bowl.
Spag bowl.
Spag bowl.
I say spag
bolognese,
bog.
Not bolognese.
I say I have a bowl of bog,
really
please.
Got bollen down in this.
Bogged down? Bolog. Usually yeah, just going bogged.
Yeah.
As we said, death of radio.
Yeah.
You had spaghetti on pizza.
I haven't seen it since I was a kid. Mm. And it is, I reckon, the best pizza topping of all time.
Nah, it's too much. Like pizza already wreaks havoc with my guts. If I then put pasta on top of the, I don't know whether I'm gluten intolerant, I don't know, whatever, but I would not get off the toilet, I reckon, for a good month if I had a whole meal of spaghetti on top of the pizza.
Carrie, I reckon I have to take you to task on this because there wasn't long ago on this show where I mentioned putting Imodium, I think it was in coffee or something, and I said, as you get older, doesn't everything just make you go to the toilet?
Yeah.
And you looked me in the eyes and said, no. Nah.
But not everything. For me, it's just pizza.
It's just pizza?
No, pizza and coffee.
Dried apricots.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's a few things, but it's not everything. But spaghetti is often, like spaghetti between two pieces of bread and a Jaffel maker. That's also a thing that people love to do. That's carb heavy too, but joyous.
Sorry, I don't think I've ever had that.
What do you mean? Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm a baked bean in a Jaffel kind of girl, but.
That'll make you go, sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a stay-at-home meal. but I know people that like a can of tinned spaghetti in their toasted sandwich.
Yeah.
Do you know we never called them Jaffels growing up?
What do you mean?
I don't know whether it was a WA thing. They weren't even Toasties. They were toasted sandwiches. They were never Jaffels.
But we were the same. I reckon Jaffels only came around when the flatbed option was one, and so the difference was then a toasted sandwich is in a flatbed and a Jaffel seals it. But I was the same before because it was only Jaffels.
Gosh, and so this is fascinating, isn't it?
It's good stuff.
I think I'm also dying inside.
Maybe you've had too much pasta and stuff and you just need to go to work. So is this going to hurt you, my phone topic?
What's your phone topic?
Is it going to hurt you, though?
What is it? Is it just toppings on pizza discuss? Or is it?
Nah, it's definitely not now.
I do like a pineapple.
No, don't.
I do.
Don't.
In fact, it
you
would be.
You know this is my, we I can't talk about this topic.
To be honest, if I was genuinely honest, ham and pineapple is all
Carrie,
I need.
I have always said, as soon as you go to phones on should pineapple be on pizza, that's when we need to quit our radio show, which is
13, 10, 16.
No. It's why I've gone with a wildly different topic. What's the best topping to put on a pizza? 13, 10, 60. I want to hear your thoughts.
Carrie and Tommy.
Bored myself.
I'm weirdly on board.
Are ya?
Yep.
That's one of us.
What's your favourite pizza topping?
Yeah,
mine's ham and pineapple. No. Boring, but best.
Mine's spaghetti.
It's your new favourite.
Have you ever had nachos on a pizza?
I was just going to say, surely that's a thing.
It's
too
real
much.
Good.
I just don't. I'm just happy what with nachos mean? On their own. I don't think they need to be blended into a pizza.
But you can be happy with both. ¿Por qué no los dos?
Yeah, that's true. Peter, how are you?
What's up?
Oh my God!
These are the pizza people.
Peter. Sorry, Peter. Just a serious question. Have you got a moment just to be serious with me?
Of course I have. For you, anytime.
What's up? Carrie, do you want to have a go?
No.
You sure?
Do you notice your eyes roll into the back of your head when you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that on purpose?
No, I just let the vibe take me, you know.
Peter, what's your pizza vibe?
Sorry, Peter, a moment to be serious again. Would you like Carrie to give you a what's up?
Yes, please.
I have jumped on board your pathetic talk break with
that's
gusto.
Not, that's
I reckon
got nothing
that's
to
enough.
Do with Peter. Peter's contributing.
Commitment.
but you can give Peter, just give him a little one.
Maybe at the end. Peter, what's your pizza topping?
Pineapple.
Yes. What's
up? So, Peter, do you put it on something that's not a Hawaiian? Like, do you add it to things?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I've got one that I normally grab. It's a margarita.
Yeah.
Not only do I put pineapple on, I've got mushrooms and olives.
Oh. Ooh. No, I don't like it with the olives.
You don't like it now. You're off. You're
no,
taking back your
the
what's
only
up.
Thing, I don't think olives or anchovies can be with the pineapple. Pineapple can anchovies. Sit with the salami. It can sit with anything else, but just
no,
not.
Anchovies can be on everything.
Not with the pineapple, it can't. It's like
I mean,
too much
I don't
happening
think pineapple,
in the mouth.
I don't think fruit should be on. Actually, is tomato a fruit? Is
yeah,
it?
That's the full
it's
base.
Seeds. It's got seeds. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Peter, thank you very much. You've been wonderful. G'day, Garth.
Wonderful!
Oh, Garth, I can't believe I would say this, but
shout out to Romani.
Yeah, there you go. This is, it turned out to be wonderful because, do you want to give Garth a little of
no,
a WhatsApp?
Do
you want to
about,
give him
no,
some WhatsApp?
I told you.
A little bit of a WhatsApp.
You got one, Garth. What are you
no,
putting
hang
on?
Hang on. Sorry. Firstly, Garth, and just again a moment to be serious. Would you like a WhatsApp from Carrie?
I'd love a WhatsApp!
What's from happening in Carrie. The background there?
I'm in a truck.
Ah, of course.
You know the sound that trucks make, Carrie. They,
yeah.
They sound a bit like this. What's
Garth.
That's the Garbo truck.
Yeah, that is. That's true. That's actually true.
Garth, can I say, yeah. While we're talking about trucks, are you one of the big ones that go like across country?
No, I'm actually a Garbo truck, a real oh, Garbo truck.
Fascinating.
What do you put on your pizza, Garth?
I like chicken mignon.
Oh, what?
It's a fun word to say, a mignon.
Yeah.
What
is well, it's supposed to be mignon or whatever that is, but I call it a mignon pizza.
Is that similar minion? To a chicken Kiev?
Yeah, sort of. So, but it's just a pizza-based garlic butter or garlic oil and then bits of chicken and bacon and then cheese.
Oh. Garth, do you ever add a little bit of what's up to it?
A bit of what?
What's up?
I always add the what's up!
But do you add pineapple, Garth?
No, I don't eat pineapple.
Nah, it's weird. It's weird.
You
were
close to getting a WhatsApp, but no.
Thank you, Garth. Legend. Ilias, g'day.
WhatsApp!
This has really got me up and about, Harry.
What are you putting on your pizza?
No, that's not what you say.
No, I know. Yeah.
You say, WhatsApp! With your pizza topping.
Great. You did it.
Elias.
Is it Elias or Elias?
No, it's Elias. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
I thought so. Elias. Yeah, Elias, what are you putting on top of your pizza?
So I haven't seen anybody do it here. It was a big thing in the States in Boston, like the Italian pizzerias and stuff.
Yes.
But a carbonara sauce, so no red sauce, with chicken and broccoli. So it's a chicken and broccoli carbonara. It is one of the best pizzas you'll ever eat.
Ooh, it
sounds
good.
Heavy.
Hey, and... Elias, you will know this, but Carrie might not know this because I spent a bit of time in Boston, and do you know how do you know how they say at home in
how?
Boston?
Yeah.
What's up?
Carrie and Tommy driving you home from 3 till 6. It is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little,
and Bickers there with the dulcet tones at the end,
a little bit of a cappella.
No.
Every song has just made that little bit better with ending.
Mm-hmm. you want to be a backup dancer. Would you ever consider singing?
No, it's not a strength of mine.
Okay.
Yeah, I can dance, but I can't sing.
Hey.
Don't you look at me like that. I can dance, all right? And I'm never going to not dance again. Thank you.
I can dance is one of the more vulnerable things. So I can dance.
Can. I can really limbo nervously. Too, just FYI.
Just listing things you're good at.
What's your go-to? Yeah. Like if you got one, you only get one move, one dance move. What's your strength?
It's my tart drop. Remember that?
I'm laughing at the censoring for radio.
It used to be called something else, but it's my absolute go-to.
No, it's still called that.
It's just slower. It's my drop still is quick.
You just don't
my
get
My return back up is slower.
You're just on the floor
I
for the next 5 minutes.
Drop and then just stay low for a bit.
Yeah.
Because it's just me prepping to get back up. As my legs give way.
Looking for things around you to help you back up. heaps still to come, including a new roaster who is going to be introduced. But up next, because there's a thing that's happening. It's probably the biggest.
You can't just call it a thing that's happening.
No, but I think it's probably the biggest cultural thing in the world. I say that without fact checking, but I reckon it probably is.
Do you think more than Christmas or Easter?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
I think. Anyway.
We should fact check that.
We'll talk about it next. Yeah. Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy. It's Carrie and Tommy driving you home for your Monday arvo.
Ooh, so much still to come, including a man who has put himself on, is it the world's longest cruise? Because?
Yeah, it goes for 9 months.
Yeah.
You don't get off a ship for 9 months.
We are going to chat to him live to see. I hope it's going well, but for radio content, I hope it's going badly. But right now, I mentioned this may be the biggest cultural thing in the world that is happening right now. I'm talking about Ramadan. I went and got a haircut, and my barbers, they all, do you say celebrate, participate in?
Yep.
I'm very ignorant to all
I
of it.
I think you do celebrate, don't you? Or do you celebrate the end of Ramadan?
Which is Eid, which Eid. I learned. Yes.
Yes.
But I was asking them how they're doing, and they said it's funny. They said they're very tired during the day, but they said it's funny because people always ask them, do you lose weight because you fast, if you don't know, from basically sun up to sun down? And they said, nah, man, it's the opposite. Because they eat like
a heavy
fried
meal before
food,
you go to bed.
Yeah. And then in the morning, one of the boys was saying he has like fried dim sims and stuff in the morning.
Because you cram it in before to fuel yourself for the day.
Yes.
So apparently 6.2 billion people observe Ramadan. So the world's got 7.9 billion. It was a 6.2 if I just made that up.
1.6.
That's a real different number, isn't it? 1.6 billion. And they say 2 billion. Participate in Christmas.
So this is embarrassing because I've now brought to you the second place of cultural celebrations.
No, but I'm into it. I'm keen.
Well, I'm into it too.
I have lots of questions. So I used to sit next to Waleed Ali at the project.
Yes.
And he observed Ramadan and every time the day ended and the sun was setting at a particular time, whether it was 5:14 or 5:15, one of the first things he would eat would be a date.
Yes.
And I love a date, meant for a farty project for me, because dried fruit that does that to me. But he was always very willing to share his dates, which I thought as a man that hadn't eaten all day was a very sharing and caring attitude.
Also the vigour with which he attacked that date.
Oh, think how hungry you would be.
It was all
But I
time.
Find it interesting that a date is what you're breaking fast with. And I wondered if the date is significant or if it's just the quickest way to get sugar in, all of that.
I think that maybe not just him specific, but these boys were just talking about tucking into fried food, like they were loving it. But I was asking, like, is it hard if you're on a sporting team and stuff and you've got to play?
Because you can't drink either, can you?
No water.
Whoa.
Yeah, no water.
For the whole day.
Yeah. And so one of them was telling me about Sonny Bill Williams when he was playing league. And often if their game was at night, when sundown ticked over, he would run to the sideline and they'd give him snacks
food
to load up. And then I was watching NBA highlights and Kyrie Irving, who's one of the best players in the world, he is also observing Ramadan, and they asked him this question after the game. He just hit the game-winning shot and had sweated all game. And
what time of day? The day or nighttime?
Well, I assume it must have been during the day just because the questions they were asking, they said he couldn't drink water all game after sweating all game. But this is what he had.
How do you muster the energy to go out and score 34 points with very little nutrition in your body?
Well, it's a journey with God, and I'm not alone in this. I have brothers and sisters all around the world that are fasting with me. We hold our prayers and our meditations very sacred. And when you come out here, I mean, God's inside me, God's inside you, God's inside all of us. So I'm walking with faith.
What does that mean for prayers as well? Because prayers have to be done at a certain time, don't they? What happens if you're in the middle of a game?
Oh, and you have to pray.
Yeah.
I don't know, but these are all the things I want to know. I'm very curious. 131060 is our number. Talk to us about Ramadan. Does it get in the way of your job? when does it get in the way of your prayers, as you ask? Just tell us ignorant people about.
And are there exceptions? I'm interested to know. Ooh. The people that don't have to participate or can participate. Can you half participate? Can you, like, if you're pregnant, do you have to participate?
Great questions, Bickers. Give us a call, 13 10 60.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Monday afternoon. It is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And on 13 10 60, we're talking Ramadan.
Yes, my barbers are all observing Ramadan. And I have just so many questions. They're saying they get, yeah, sorry, Carrie.
No. I was just going to tell you that fasting, which is the not eating between sun up and sun down, is one of the five pillars of Islam, emphasizing self-discipline, spirituality, and empathy for the less fortunate.
Yes. Sana, g'day.
Hi.
My first question is, why do they say observing Ramadan and not doing it?
Well, it's you sort of observe, because there's a lot of spirituality involved. It's not just abstaining from, it's purifying your mind, your soul, your thoughts.
Yes.
All that is part of the process of fasting. So it is kind of an observation.
Right.
Because it is interesting. It feels like observing is what we are doing on Ramadan.
Yeah, we're watching.
As opposed to taking part in. But I understand, Sana, that you are observing Ramadan, but you're not today. Why?
Yes, because women who are on their period get a chance to just have a break.
Oh.
And, yeah, so while you're on your period, you don't fast.
Hey, Sana, this might also answer the question Carrie had earlier. If you're pregnant, do you still observe?
No, you then have the choice of not, and most women would probably not. Some women who feel that they may be able to might, but, yeah, you're definitely not obligated if you're pregnant, or if you're nursing, if you're sick, if you're an elderly, if you're a child, obviously. So yeah, there's a lot of considerations, are there. Yeah.
You mentioned there having a period means you don't have to do it. Are excuses used to not do it the same way that in like the Christian religion, perhaps people who don't have the, you know, the no fish on Good Friday, and then they say, you know, some people practice it. Some people don't have no fish on Good Friday. It's kind of you decide to take the observation on yourself. You pick your bits you're interested in. With Ramadan, is it all in like that, or is something like your period an excuse to not do it, and you might say you've got it longer than you actually have it for?
Sorry, I don't understand what you mean.
I think Carrie's saying, do you ever fake your period? And
oh, no. So anybody who wants to fast will fast, and anybody who isn't religious enough to observe, they won't, you know. It's a personal choice at the end of the day. But
is there any judgment, though, Sana, from those that do to don't? Or you literally can just choose if you want to, and it's completely fine?
It's so personal. I think religious beliefs are very personal, and any good religious person knows not to be judgmental, because that's really just meant for God.
Right.
So, yeah.
Sana, can you talk to me a bit about the food you eat pre-fasting in the day and then at the end of it? Because my mates were saying that they put on weight because they just eat all this fried stuff. What do you have? What do you have in the morning and then at night?
Cereal.
Okay.
Wild.
Stock standard. Yeah. It's good to see we have some things are very common. And then what about at night?
What do you break your fast with?
That's just my personal choice.
Oh, I missed it, Sana. It dropped out. What did you say it was?
Oh, sorry. I said personal preference is to just have water or something really light, because I can't really eat a big meal at that time of day. And I'll just have a big meal in the evening. But that's just me personally. I know many people that, you know, have a big meal in the morning and in the evening.
Good on you, Sana. Thank you so much. What about Tariq? How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good. So you're observing at the moment?
Yes, I'm observing at the moment, yes.
What did you want to add to the conversation?
I think you said that why we are observing for Ramadan. So I can add to that as well, why we are observing Ramadan, because there are a lot to observe around you as well, not just refrain from eating, but to take care of the people who are needy. They need help. They are more kind of people who are in trouble. So it's all around you as well that you need to observe, and you need to see whether if there is anything that you can do to improve their life or improve their situation as well. So it's just like it's not just refraining from eating, but it's to watch out for the other people as well and do their due diligence and kind of help them out as well.
It's very lovely, Tariq. Why is it a month?
So why it is a month? Because I think most of the religious things, religion is basically tell us how to live in a society and how you can kind of adjust yourself and you can be a better person. So I'm being a scientist as well. So I think intermittent fasting these days is kind of something that you do to detoxify your body.
Yes.
And they say that research says that at least 25 to 30 days of fasting is enough to detoxify it. So I think that is why in Islam it's basically revolves around which is more beneficial for your body and for soul as well. So it's kind of I think that is why it's just for 30 days, or it can be 60 days as well. Some in other religion there are 40 days as well. Some religion there are few days. So in our religion there are 40 days which are 30 days which are compulsory, but then there are days during the week that are not compulsory, but still we can observe fast as well. So kind of 2 days in a week, we can also do that as not compulsory thing, but voluntarily we can also fast, and people do fasting as well in our religion.
Good on you, Tariq.
Interesting.
Yeah, what about Rasha? Can you tell us more?
Yes.
How are you? Can you tell us about Eid? What happens at Eid?
So basically we've got two celebrations, one after fasting is over, Ramadan. It's Eid al oh my God, look at me, I forgot bloody name.
No, we don't know it either.
Anyway, Eid al-Fitr. So what that means is obviously, you know, it's the big, we have two a year. So we celebrate the one for Ramadan after that. And obviously it's all about family, giving to the poor, paying, we call zakat. It's, you know, this whole Ramadan is purification of the soul, being at one with God, forgetting everything else around you because we're taken by material things day by day and so on. This is a time to connect directly with God, with others, with your brothers and sisters, and it's to make you humble as a person and to really, you know, it's a beautiful feeling, honestly. And we have another one, which is a sacrifice of when Abraham was sent to sacrifice his son, but then God said sacrifice a lamb instead. So that's Eid al-Adha.
And is it the equivalent to like a Christmas, the presents exchanged and things like that?
Yeah, we prefer, look, we don't really exchange, but for the young kids, we give them money, or it's not of gift giving or anything like that. It's more of going out and, you know, we do that throughout the year though. Islam's about giving charity all the time. It's a way of life. It's not once a year kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? It's purification.
Yes. I think I'm into it. Do I have to be, can I do Ramadan without having to do all the religious stuff around?
Of course. I mean, it's like my brother said, Tariq, intermittent fasting. I mean, it's, you can do it. There are no rules, guidelines. There are no, you know, you can do it and just state your intention, because we believe that we are judged based on our hearts and our intention, and it's something personal between you and God. So if you state your intention and you want to observe Ramadan, of course. I mean, it's, and just, you know, they're doing a lot of iftar, as we call it. So after breaking a fast, they're doing congregations where everyone is welcome. So you can see how it is between amongst the brothers and sisters, and we welcome everybody.
I mean,
it's a beautiful, it's a very spiritual faith.
It sounds wonderful. I think I might have to lay off the piss if I'm going to do it, but it sounds wonderful.
Gary and Tommy.
Yes, it is. And for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, we're going to be roasting Tommy Little.
Yep, if you have missed this, next week, some of the country's best comedians, some of our beloved stars of this country outside the comedy world are coming together to roast you.
Yes.
You do get a right of reply at the end.
Yes.
I am hosting it, and we welcome another roaster a bit later in the show.
Yes, carryandtommy.com.au. If you want to get tickets, money can't buy them, just get in there.
But from roasting to ghosting is what we're going to do up next, and not the relationship kind either.
Ooh.
Carry and Tommy.
Gary and Tommy, driving you home for your Monday afternoon. We're going to meet another one of our roasters up very soon.
Sorry,
Carrie's just watching stuff on her phone.
Carrie's done with her Insta.
It's for the show. I'm bringing you something in back to back a bit later. I saw footage of me from, I think, maybe 18 years ago. I didn't know I was a part of something.
Are you on a jet ski?
I'm going to tell you about it in back to back.
Okay.
Involves Jack Black. But right now, Jesse told us a thing that I didn't think was a thing.
I didn't realize it was a thing until I heard this over the weekend. A friend of mine said to me that she'd ghosted something recently, and the first use of the term ghosting, I kind of was like, oh, but you're in a long-term relationship at the moment, so
well,
you kind
harsh.
Of been ghosting anything at all recently.
Yes.
And she was like, no, I just really didn't like the job that I was in, and so I just ghosted them.
That's wonderful.
But what does that, what does that mean? So what does it mean in a relationship form? It just means you go on a date and then never contact them again.
You disappear. Yeah.
And how long into a relationship can you be to do that?
Oh, I've done it years in.
You haven't made it that far.
No, I've never made it years in. No, why?
So what does it mean in a work sense?
So I think she said she'd been working there for a couple of months and the boss was a real pain in the ass and was calling her at all hours of the night. And she was like, I'm just done. And so she figured out a time where he was not going to be in the office, went in with her laptop and phone or whatever that they'd given her, put it down, walked out. And just never went back.
I
and
love
whenever
it.
They called
did they
her,
call her?
Heaps and emails and everything. She just never replied. And
that's
I was like,
amazing to not care about your job that much that you don't even care about the reputation.
She just went straight into another job as
did
well.
She?
I was like, how are you doing?
It's wonderful. And again, this is my attitude with hire cars. And I know I've.
Are you ghosting hire cars?
I've ghosted hire cars.
Yeah. You just leave them around.
Sorry.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah. But also, you do this with hotel rooms.
Do I?
Yeah, you told
me. I told
you
all
just
that
leave.
You
don't check out.
You don't need to go do the checkout process.
Yes, that's ghosting.
Because you leave your credit card there and then they already have
sorry,
it.
Sorry, I know you're explaining more, but it's the same thing.
But they don't want to have to talk to you either. So isn't
they'd
ghosting.
They'd like to know if you left.
Do they? I don't reckon they care.
And they send the cleaners in. It's the same with any of these situations. People would like to know.
Yeah.
But I'm into all of it.
It's pretty good.
It's great. It's
13, 10, 60. What are you ghost that's not a relationship?
Yes. I've had a friend do the opposite, which is he got a job on a big construction site. He works residential, but it was a big commercial site. He's a plumber, didn't know what to do. And so for a year, he walked around with a spanner and just went to different levels, tapping his spanner. And if anyone... If anyone asked him, hey, can you help with this? He goes, oh, they named me down on level 4. And then he just do laps around.
That's not but, ghosting, but that's brilliant.
Yeah, it's almost the opposite.
That?
It's turning
it's like
up when
sticking.
You're not needed. Yeah. But I would love to hear of stories of this.
That's taking the piss. That's what that is.
Absolutely. Not just when you've left a job. I want to know, what else have you ghosted? People would ghost their families for sure.
Oh, that's kind of dark.
I'm into it. Give us a call, 13 10 60. What have you ghosted?
Carrie and Tommy.
The Monday
did
afternoon.
You see? They reunited.
The NSYNC?
Yes.
Did they really?
They did something with, what was it? With.
Well,
anyway,
no, you look it up
tell
on
a
your
story.
Instagram.
Think research before you say things out loud on radio. They were at something, at some con, being a mum again. They were at some concert and they reunited
those
with
boys
someone.
Those were at the thing.
The producers
they,
are on
and
it
they
furiously
the thing.
At the moment.
It's taking four producers to work out what's in mum's brain.
Well, they're searching boys at a thing. We're talking about ghosting.
Hold on. Pip's
producer
got the
Pippa
answer.
Might have it for you.
Where are they?
LA.
Yep. That was the place. That was the thing.
Okay, that narrows it.
And it's the first time they've performed since 2013.
There you go. And who was, did they, was it JT as well?
Yep. He was there.
Oh. Yep.
And I'll come back to you for more information.
That's all we needed.
It was a pre-album release show.
There we go. See, I told you it was a thing of a thing of a thing that was worth talking about.
It was.
Rhiannon.
We're talking about ghosting things because, Jesse, you have a friend that ghosted their job.
Yeah, didn't want to work there anymore. And so she just
turned off her phone,
gave it back, and then just never spoke to her again.
How good. G'day, Rhiannon.
Hi, how you going, guys?
Yeah, good. What did you ghost?
My children.
I don't know if I'm meant to laugh, but
this is
it's
not
wonderful.
Like a family breakdown type scenario.
Yeah, it's not like neglect or anything like that.
Good.
It's just that they're sort of a bit annoying sometimes.
Yes.
So what do you do?
I just ignore them. If they've got phones, they're teenagers. But if they really start to hassle me and annoy me, I just ignore them. I just say, look, that's enough, and I'm not dealing with this today, and I just ignore them.
That's wonderful. Not really ghosting though, because you explain you've had enough. or you don't tell them because you can't tell them.
I just don't tell them. I just stop responding. Yeah. And then they get really cranky. They get really cranky at me and they start messaging me a million times.
Message you.
Do you ever think it'll get to the point where you'll just do it for real and ride off into the sunset?
I honestly do. I do. I dream about this day.
Yeah. Even I don't even have kids, but that sounds wonderful.
It sounds so amazing. It's just riding away.
Yes. It almost makes me want to have kids just so I can ride off into the sunset.
So you can do that to them.
Do you know my friend ghosted her cafe? A new one started up around the corner and she accidentally ended up getting a coffee from there one day because the queue was too long at her local and she preferred the coffee better, but she couldn't break up with them. But she'd been going to that cafe, I reckon, every day for 5 years and now she'll take the long way round driving or walking because she's so scared of them seeing her.
Yes. I have a cafe near me that I go to a lot and if I feel like going to a different cafe, I cross the road so I don't have to walk in front of them. G'day, Dave.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. What did you ghost?
Like Jesse's mate, I ghost one of my jobs.
Well done. Talk us through it.
So I was living in the UK, was an assistant manager in a pub and also living above. It was one of those old school British pubs.
Yep.
Got a bit homesick and in the middle of the night, I'd pre-planned this, but I sort of emptied my room out, did a dart with a friend and ended up flying back to Australia.
Amazing.
Wow. Did they call you?
No, he emailed me a few times because I was behind on my rent as well.
So you ghosted on two fronts, on the living front and the work front.
Yeah, so I'm worried about going back to the UK.
No, you'll be fine.
What's your manager like? He's not going to come and hunt you down.
No, probably not. No, I'm sure he won't hunt me down. I think it'll be all right.
Dave, did you respond to any of the emails?
Oh, God, no. No.
Sorry, it's ghosting. I'm an idiot. Sorry.
20 SMSs on my phone. Like, I don't reply to anybody.
Good on you, Dave. What about you, Bailey?
Bales. Yeah, how you going? Yep. Picked up by Canterbury Banks down in the late 80s. So they put us on construction sites and things like that. So I was working with some bricklayers. And I had the same wheelbarrow full of bricks for about seven months, just going from one side of the construction, like huge construction. I'm talking in the middle of Sydney.
Yeah.
And no one knew, just going back and forth. Yeah, same thing. Someone would yell out, Bales, what are you doing? Yeah, I've got to take these over to Mick over there. did it for about 7 months. Yeah, it was great.
And why did you end up pulling the pin, Bales? It sounds like an ideal gig.
Well, the place got built.
Carrie and Tommy. It's Carrie and Tommy thanks to Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how they get to net zero. Find out more at alintaenergy.com.au/truepower.
So who have we got in the list so far to roast you next week at the roast of Tommy Little? We've got the one and only Adam Gilchrist.
Gilly, big get. Gilly.
Who else we got?
One of the best comedians in the country and former housemate Luke McGregor. Also one of the most savage roasters in the world, Tom Ballard.
Because normally I've been bringing you the roast. I was going to say the roastees, but they're the roasters. You're the roastee. Bringing the next one. And the next one knows both of us well. So I'm a little nervous too.
And I, only because I know his ability, am slightly terrified. Mm. That's next.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy. Driving you home for your Monday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, and it is time to meet our next roaster for this.
It's time for friends to become enemies. Welcome to the roast of Tommy Little.
Oh, wow!
I said our Tommy's friends are here. His friends. People he loves the most. They are all lining up, and they're gonna roast Tom. Tommy's roast is here. So well, definitely not have friends after the roast.
Wow.
He'll cry no.
Laugh out loud from March 27 to April 21 at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival with hundreds of local and international acts. Browse the program and book now at comedyfestival.com.au.
Now, Bickers, you have been surprising me with people who are going to roast me, but I am going to introduce this next person with a bit of fear in my voice because I've done comedy alongside this man for years and he's one of the best comedians but also joke writers in the country and I often go to him for advice.
Oh, no.
And so when that gun is going to be turned on me, it's slightly terrifying. He hosts a podcast called The Little Dum Dum Club. It's one of the biggest comedy podcasts in the country. They are doing live shows for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Make sure you go and check them out. It is the one and only Carl Chandler. Oh,
thank you. Thank you for having me. Finally, a big name on this roast.
Yes.
You're roasting yourself.
Yeah. I would be the most unknown one, but you know what? It really pays to lend Tommy Little $20 back when he had no money 15 years ago, yeah. And you get these sort of opportunities.
What do people need to know about you if they don't know you? What would you like people to know?
He's an asshole, and so he's certainly not going to. Oh, sorry, you answer.
No, I think you put it best. I think that's fine. No, it's sort of like people keep asking me, like in the studio, like, oh, how's it going to go with the roast? Are you going to be okay with the roast? I'm like, I was born to do this stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Everything else in life is sort of hard work. Compared to this, I have to put the handbrake on in normal life. That's tough.
The only difference with this is you have a microphone.
Yes.
Usually I have permission. You're just going,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, people don't get upset after I say it. They go, good job.
Yeah. And also people might not know this, but you are undeniably, if we go on track record, a better comedian than me. Do you remember we chatted about this on your podcast,
yes,
on the Little Dum Dum Club?
Yes.
This was us chatting about when we went head-to-head, yes, in a comedy competition back in the day.
I would have started 1 or 2 years before you. Mm. I did a comedy competition with you, and I were in the final.
I remember this very well.
Yeah. Judged by Glenn Robbins and Luke Darcy, footballer, and a couple of others. And then the results came out. First place, Kay Chandler. Second place, T Little.
You got a novelty check.
Yeah, you're right.
Sure, I got a career.
Yeah.
Where is that check today?
I got a novelty career.
Yeah, you've got a family that loves you.
Yeah, love's a strong word.
Yeah.
That's right. And look who's laughing now. Me on my lunch break from Burnley KFC. Yeah.
You and Carrie have a long history of working together at the project. It must be nice to be reunited.
Some of the only funny words that came out of my mouth were courtesy of you. Thank you.
Carrie was there a long time. I've been there a long time. I'm still there now. And the fondest memory, I work in the writer's room. There's a writer's room at the project. There's someone that scripts everything and stuff like that. Now, we were very fond of Carrie because she made a great connection with us. She would come in every day. She would come in and she'd sneak her head around the corner every day.
That's nice, because a lot of the hosts wouldn't do that.
Exactly. I mean, they all did. But anyway, but Carrie would sneak her head around the corner, sneak her hand around the corner and give a very vague, how's the writer's room going today? And the hand would go in the big bucket of lollies that were just around the corner from the door, scoop them up and then walk out without even listening to the answer. And then I reckon about 8 years into this habit, one day she walked in, put the hand in the bucket and went, how's the writer's room going today? Hang on. The bucket's empty. And she goes, where's all the lollies? And someone said, oh, the girl that stocks the lollies, she quit. And that's the last time we ever saw Carrie Bickmore in the writer's room. The single last time.
And see
no
Rob
jappers, no writer's room. That was it.
Hey, Chandler, I'm so excited to have you at the roast. Thank you for being a part of it. I say this before and not on the night, but I love you very much and I appreciate it.
One of my oldest friends in comedy, Tommy Little, we started around the same time.
Absolutely, and I haven't forgotten you beating me in that competition. as I also mentioned, the Little Dum Dum Club live shows, there's four in Melbourne over the Comedy Festival. LittleDumDumClub.com is
Basement
where you get
Comedy
tickets.
Club.
Basement Comedy Club is also a weekly room that you do every week. I was there on the weekend.
Killed
and it absolutely fly.
Can I ask one quick question?
Yes.
We've been asking all of our roasters what area they're going to play in with Tommy. I'm interested to know, what is the area you want to play, but you're worried? The actual sensitive soul over here, who's pretending he doesn't care, but let's be honest, does. What's the area you are nervous to play in?
Well, I'm really confident, you know, in beating him up over all those floors, like good looking, successful with women, heaps of money. I mean, what's funnier than just someone who has it all?
Yes.
It's actually pretty hard.
Tricky, yes.
It's actually pretty hard. It's like, it's coming from me. It's like, who's this guy? Nobody.
Yes. No,
absolutely
no, no.
Nobody.
That's first place.
Yes.
From back first place, you're right.
In 1982.
Okay. That's it. That's
at a Luke Darcy owned pub.
That's right. That's going to be my focus. Luke Darcy loves me more than you.
Is that how you'd like me to intro you?
Yes.
Winner of the, what was it called?
A Ruckman thinks I'm funnier.
Tickets to the roast. It is a money can't buy experience. CarrieandTommy.com.au. We hope to see you there. Carl Chandler, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country for your Monday arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It's time for Bickmore's Bits. Here we go
now. I know you're all Tay-Tayed out, but I got one last bit of Tay-Tay news for you.
Hey. Yeah. I am not Tay-Tayed out.
That is, what?
I'm not.
Well, okay. See how you feel at the end of this. Okay. So you didn't go to see a concert, but her concert goes for an hour. We wish. 3 hours.
Wasn't the middle bit an hour?
I think when you 44 minutes or something.
Too
long. A lot of the mums there were looking at her going, how the hell does she do that night after night after night? Well, it turns out 6 months before her tour, she hits the treadmill and sings her entire 3 hours. This is the bit I don't understand. 3 hours 44 on the treadmill, singing and running at the same time so that she can get through all the huffing and puffing and dancing that she's got to do for the actual show.
I mean, she has great tunes, but that would be so annoying to be next to at the gym.
I don't reckon she's at a normal gym. She's not at, you know, F45 for Snap Fitness.
She's not going down to a fitness first.
She says, every day I'd run the treadmill singing the entire set list out loud, fast for fast songs. I'd jog or fast walk for slow songs. She also did strength training and she gave up alcohol for the entire tour.
She never drank.
And she said she'll play 3 days of shows and then she always has a rest day before she then gets back up. It's the only way that her voice can – that's why she doesn't have a lot of sick days and a lot of time, because she said she makes sure she has a break after 3 days.
Does she – and I'm not insinuating, I'm just asking because it's big in the pop world – does she ever lip sync?
I don't reckon Tay-Tay does.
Doesn't.
You know what still amazes me?
Oh, sorry. Our ethnic correspondent.
Eli, what are you going to say? Don't be blasphemous.
I won't, but my friends who were present and are massive Taylor fans were like, yeah, she was clearly lip syncing.
No, she wasn't.
Yes, she was.
No, she wasn't. Why do you say that? How can you tell?
It's just impossible to have that sort of conditioning and strength training to, breath control.
Did you go see Pink? She flies literally across the stage, the stadium, and still sings.
Eli's eye rolled. Uh-oh.
She was upside down.
I imagine they're her real vocals, but there's no doubt in my mind that they would have backing tracks because you just can't do it.
Just because you can't doesn't mean other people can't.
No, Eli
can. You do 3 hours, 44 minutes in the gym every day, and let's see if you can sing upside
down. No, to be fair, though, I saw him. He had his trapeze in here the other day, and I saw him tumbling around, and he was singing. He was singing.
One of the weirdest things Elizabeth Hurley has ever said. So she is doing a new film that has been directed. She's doing a film called Strictly Confidential, and the trailer features some pretty racy scenes between her and actress Pear Shirivara.
Is that Peach's sister?
There's quite a few sex scenes in it, a few racy scenes.
Apple's
but
cousin.
You'll be
that Apple's cousin?
Gwyneth's daughter.
She is a twin, though.
You used to work with a pair.
And she...
didn't you? Wasn't that the production assistant?
I'm trying to tell you about Elizabeth Hurley. Yeah. Anyway, you'll be happy to know that she felt so safe during those scenes.
Yeah,
because they can be quite a lot, you know, to get naked and then have to act having, you know, action
you
on
You say
camera.
That, but I've, of course,
with Claudia Carvin.
Yes.
Well, she said that she felt so safe and comfortable because all the scenes were directed by her son. She said that having him there made her feel at ease.
It is like, weird.
You have a very different relationship with your son. Would not make me feel at ease at all.
Carrie, it's weird. And also, I can't believe I haven't mentioned this, but for my scenes with Claudia Carvin, my mum was there.
And finally, check out this blueberry. It's hard to see. That blueberry there is the heaviest blueberry the world has ever seen. In fact, it's so big it can be used to play ping pong. It's called the Behemoth Blueberry. And there's a blueberry farm in Corindi, New South Wales, they do this program where they try different varieties of blueberries. And one of them was to see how big they could get it. It's been growing for, I think, like 12 months it's been growing.
Do you know what size of a lemon?
Yeah, 20 grams, 70 times more than the average blueberry. The berry is 4.2 grams heavier than the previous record.
What's wonderful is you're showing me a printed out picture there. Mm-hmm. and it is almost the size of a woman's palm.
Yeah.
But what's great about it, yeah. and in very typical, just a bit more little touch, you've got the play icon
yeah, it's actually
also
video,
printed.
But we printed it.
Yes,
as a picture.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah. I can tell.
Yeah, which the whole radio listenership can hear.
Carrie and Tommy.
Isn't it funny when you scroll through Instagram and you see footage of yourself and you don't realise it's you?
This is very unrelatable content.
No, because other people follow friends and stuff and they'd see their photos pop up and go, who's that? Oh, that's me from like 1996, you know.
Do you reckon that happens?
1996.
Do you reckon that happens?
Because I was watching The Project's Instagram last night, not to be confused with the show.
How's your life gone?
No, I was watching. I often get my news updates from their feed, and I saw Jack Black recreate a wrestling move, I think he did, with Rove. And then they showed old footage of Rove doing the wrestling move with Jack Black, and I was like, oh, I wasn't there for that show when they did that. And then it cut to the blonde on the couch, and I was like, oh, I was there for that when they did that.
Yes.
But, you know, my memory is so bad, I couldn't remember. It looked nothing like me now.
Is that because of all of the...
No, because I was 18 years younger and pregnant at the time. No, it can't have been. 16 years younger and pregnant at the time. As a kid
some
I haven't quick, told you about.
Some quick adjustments.
Anyway, then I kept watching Jack Black because he was on the project last night and he started seeing a bit of Beyonce.
Were you hoping that you would pop up again?
No, I just think he's funny. He was there
very
to promote
funny.
Kung Fu Panda 45 or something. I don't know what number we're up to. Anyway, this is him singing Beyonce's Halo.
Gosh dang it, I should have practiced it before I came out here. I was just singing it in my hotel room at home. We can edit this out later. How does Halo go, the verse? It goes... In someone I found out. What is it? How does it go?
Remember those walls I built.
Nah, not that one. A different lyric. You're everything I need more. It's written all over your face. Baby, I can see your halo. It's written all over your face.
Got real Jack Black here.
Real Jack Black here.
Anyway, so. In honour of that, I thought we'd get a bit of Halo on now.
Carrie and Tommy.
You drive home this afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
I love when you see the headline, Aussie comedian Christian Hull pays $20,000 for an ultimate world cruise ticket. Yes. And I know that what's to follow in his article will be nothing but funny at the expense of Christian. The man joins us now on the phone. Christian Hull, welcome.
Yes. Oh, my God. Help.
Well, should we mention the photo that goes with the headline is you with a spew bag.
With scrambled eggs in front of him.
I know.
Oh, yeah, I've got the priorities on. I've been to the buffet. Well, so I'm on board a cruise. I've never been on a cruise before. I'm on here for 16 nights, and people are on here for 9 months. It's a world cruise touring the world, obviously, and I thought, oh, I'll get on, make some content, get some views.
I've been watching your updates on your socials. It seems like you've been sick every day.
Yes, correct.
Imagine if people were doing that. I know you said you're only there for 16 nights.
You wouldn't be doing that. If you got that, you're not signing up for 9 months, are you? Well, I guess you don't know if you get on.
And I'm assuming they don't give a refund if you spew.
No. The people on here, okay, firstly, I went up to a cabin. It's called a junior suite. So it's about three times the size of my room. And are you ready for this? Is everyone sitting down?
I'm ready.
It is $362,000
for
this trip.
And
the comfort and the I could do this cruise if I had that. There's a bathtub, there's a walk-in closet, there's a huge bath. Like it is.
But it's still in a boat, you'd still be sick.
Well, no, here's the thing. Well, it's you treat it differently when you spend that amount of money on this ship. The air quality is different. You get bottles of Evian. The seasickness was I did not get sick on deck 10. Like deck 10 is Millionaire's Row. So what I think you've got to remember is that people on board this cruise are the most avid cruisers of all time. This is not a first-time cruise experience for these people. Like, they have been cruising for 30 years.
In a row or yearly for 30 years?
No. In a row. I
need to know, like, have they just made their money and then is it all elderly people who have retired and decided to do it on a boat instead of on land?
Yeah, a little bit. But the people that had the junior suite, absolutely gorgeous human beings, you know, in their early 50s, and they were just like, they Like the people, they earn, oh swingers? My God, the money.
Swingers?
Oh my God, the money. Okay, so I have, no, they're not swingers.
Yeah.
But I have discovered there is a little bit of swinging on board.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm interested, Christian, because last time we spoke to you on air, it was for something much more hectic. It was
porno.
Yeah, for you doing adult content. Have you found a way to incorporate cruising and adult content while you're on there?
I am trying so desperately, but because this is a ship full of mostly octogenarians, it is very hard. Like this swinging couple, I got a note under my door yesterday morning with a room number and two names and a winky face. And so I don't know.
What's your age limit? Where do you, what's your suitable range?
Well, I'm 7 days in with no fornication. Yes. So every day that passes, my age limit increases. So I'm currently at about 66 years old. I'm willing to go to 66.
Wow, that's really opening your,
yes.
I mean, to be fair, the majority of people are 70 plus. So I've still ruled out a lot of people.
So can we talk about the remortgaging of your house, which I understand you did to go on this? Is someone giving you financial advice? Because it feels like a terrible financial decision.
Awful, awful financial decision. But thankfully, I got a sponsor with Every Plate, the meal kit delivery service. So they pitied, I think they looked at me and went, oh, that poor man. And so they've actually come on board and they gave me a bit of spending money and I bought a whole pineapple outfit. So pineapples are the international symbol for swingers.
Oh.
So I went and bought inflatable pineapples, pineapple glasses, pineapple clothes, socks. And so I've been... I'm not subtle. I'll literally walk out into the ship dressed as a pineapple to be like, where are these swingers?
That's so interesting because the inflatable in my pool is a pineapple. I didn't realize that was the message I was putting out to the world.
What a lie,
Christian.
Carrie.
Why the neighbours are always over. did Every Plate, the wonderful folks there, did they know that that's what their sponsorship money was going to go to?
Oh, absolutely not. No, there is actually a passenger on, oh my God, Anthony, the most gorgeous, oh, he's stunning. And I think he's keen. And okay. He's quite a famous TikToker and he's sort of shot to fame while he's been on this cruise. He's the most divine, sweet human being. And when you look into his eyes and when he talks to you, I am transported into another world. And I want to stay on this cruise just for him.
So
that's what I'll be doing.
Kristen Hull, we love you. We will stay tuned. And if there's any major developments, can you please let us know?
I will. So basically, if I get involved in a swingers party, I will text you. I'll send you photos, Tommy.
Yeah, I just want to know if you've rude Anthony, to be honest. Thanks to Every Plate.
Oh, God.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show.
Bye.
Bye.
Another podcast with Carrie and Tommy is all wrapped up. Thanks to Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how we get to net zero. Find out at alintaenergy.com.au. True power.